dear listener. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this Warui Desho podcast. We're so happy to have the pleasure of your company today. If you've listened to us before and like our show, you might be wondering how you can support us, since we won't take your money. This podcast will continue to be free, but if you'd like to show your appreciation, please consider leaving us a rating and review on iTunes, as those help our discoverability. If you don't use iTunes, that's fine too. You can follow us and like and share our content on SoundCloud, YouTube, and Twitter. Additionally, we love getting your feedback, positive or negative. Tweet us at Warui Desho or email us at waruidesho@gmail.com. Whether or not it gets read on the show, I can assure you, we all read every tweet and email you send us. And once again, dear listener, we thank you so much. Now please, enjoy the show. Ladies, gentlemen, MVs, welcome friends and others to Warui Desho's Stream of Thought. This is the third season, and we're covering Banana Fish by Studio Mappa, iteration number 14, Core 2. It's fall.
I didn't realize that we were cast logging this by the Dewey Decimal System, but hey, you know, we're also breaking
log.
New ground here.
Stardate.
Hello, everyone. How are y'all doing?
Hi. So I'm the Subtle Doctor, and alongside me is erstwhile Warui Desho companion, one of the originals, a triple crown, 5-star deluxe special combo, S rank, 7 gold letters, Shadon. He's here.
Hello, everyone. In case you're curious, this is Bailey's.
He's in the building!
Yep, having a Bailey's tonight. It's been a long day. I've spent most of it on trains, and they've been crap. So I felt like treating myself to some alcoholic chocolate milk.
Alcohol, yes. Well, listen. Bailey's is wonderful.
Bailey's, oh, it's bloody good.
Bailey's is glorious. I'm tempted to do a poll. Is Bailey's the greatest? Yes, maybe, no.
Do you want me to start picking fights again? Do you want me to start picking fights again with people on the internet? For God's sake, I've already been doing that recently. Jesus.
Yeah, Shadon has been embroiled in quite a few internet arguments relating to currently airing anime. Which I've just missed, because I haven't been watching any
because
of
you're
the
sensible.
Premieres.
Because you're sensible. You're
no,
more
I mean,
like
I...
Me.
Listen. The anime fire, at times it burns very bright and hot, and at times it simply, you know, is like a small candle still there, still burning through the night, but the flame is small, and this is currently where I am in my anime journey. But
well, you're avoiding some of the more interesting hot takes on the internet as a result, so that might actually be to your benefit, to be quite honest.
I mean, we've talked about them, so I know what they are. Do you want to tell Maglorian what Bailey's tastes like? You said alcoholic chocolate milk, which is pretty descriptive.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's technically Irish cream liqueur, but really it is just chocolate milk with a touch of alcohol in it. 17%. I also have 2 steel ice cubes in here for extra freshness.
It's very sweet, but it has the sting that you crave with your
Yeah, this is true.
Liqueur.
Not, Not something you can drink all night, though. Not because it's got that much alcohol in it, but most because of the same reason you can't drink pear cider all night, because the taste builds up. You know, you get an aftertaste in your mouth, and then you're like...
The gunk. Ugh. Yeah, the crud. The crud.
Mm. But for a one-off, it's pretty good. It's a nice nightcap.
So if anyone wants to, like... I am watching 20-plus shows. Jesus Christ, Mirror. Well, if anyone wants to, like, tell me, you know... what to keep an eye on, what to earmark.
Thunderbolt Fantasy Season 2.
Yeah,
Season 2.
You and Blue Sea are all about the puppetry. But apart from Thunderbolt, yeah, if anyone wants to say, hey Doc, like when you're feeling the anime vibes, check out this show or that show. I would respectfully, I think, ask that you leave out Goblin Slayer, just because I think I don't want to go there. But, you know, other shows, there seem to be a lot of intriguing ones. Gridman looks interesting. The Shonen So show about the circus looks interesting.
I need to watch Zombieland Saga, to be fair.
Zombieland looks like some of the little clips and GIFs. I mean, the rap battle was just phenomenal, so...
Are you telling me you're also not into the idea of the show that's about the skeletal, you know, bookstore man? You know,
what show is that?
Knows?
I don't know.
I don't even know the name. But all I know is that literally it's a it is a show about a bookshop clerk who is also a skeleton. it's been going around on my Twitter, people sharing clips of it. Where he goes like, special yaoi book! That's a line there. That is actually a line there. Complete with pink, like,
oh my God.
Giant pink font.
Does,
I'll find you at some point.
Does the skeleton, like, make spaghetti?
No.
Damn
I'm
it!
Surprised. Damn I am it. Very surprised, actually, come to speak of, someone hasn't done a clip where when he... Yeah, that's the one. Thank you, Slulabelle. That's the one.
Yes.
Skullface bookseller Honda-san.
Also, Blue Sea, like, Golden Kamuy, I'm basically there. Like, like I said, Anime Flame, very small, very tiny. But when I think about Golden Kamuy, it, like, you know, begins to flicker. And that's one I'm very interested to try. Double Decker looks really neat as well. It's a pain that no one else... It's one of those things that if I was in my normal sort of, like, anime consumption mode, I think I would definitely be evangelizing, because it looks really neat. Miss Vampire Trash. No, it's okay. It's okay.
Everyone's free to watch
again,
once a week.
I want to watch the Shonen Circus thing, and a lot of people may dismiss the Shonen, and they're all fools, but, that, you know. That's either here or there. We're actually here to talk about Banana Fish. And Shadon here is very, like, travel-weary. I was having extreme bouts of anxiety last night, so I only got, like, 2.5-3 hours of sleep. We're both very tired, so we're going to try to power through. We wanted to have a stream.
I'm just going to swill my Baileys contemplatively.
God damn it, that ice is fucking loud.
Sorry, I won't do that again. I didn't realize
how loud it's that so was loud in my ears. Oh.
See, it's solid. It's stainless steel, this. It's an actually regular ice cube. Kind of genius, actually, because it doesn't water down the drink, but keeps it cool.
I can't do JoJo because I haven't seen, like, part 3, part 2... Which is to say the second half of part 3. I've seen part 2. And I'm not seeing part 4. So I'm behind on the JoJo's.
Well, you've got a lot of homework then, and I hope you complete it all this week.
Yep, I know. It's
all 100 plus episodes.
Eat the whole thing. Do all of it.
Well, you know, if you use King Crimson's ability from part 5, that'll speed through it.
Is King Crimson the stand? Or is it the
King
character?
King Crimson's the stand of the final boss guy from
I mean, at least I know... At least the band reference isn't lost on me, you know? I know, yeah. King Crimson.
King Crimson's ability is the... It allows you to speed up the effects of something. So, like, if you use its effects on a car, it will instantly skip from one place to another. That's
very
the idea.
Cool. That's cool.
I think that's the skip behind anyway, but it stands as stands. They just do whatever they need to for the crazy shit.
Thank you. No, we're we're okay.
Good night's sleep will sort me out.
Yeah, indeed. Same here. Same here. Although, like, it's tough because on my way to the bed, I passed by the PS4, and the PS4 has Hollow Knight on it. I've been putting, like, so much time into that game because I never played it when it came out last year. And
Obi 2 still spoke about Blue Sea.
Holy shit, it's a great game. Sorry about your tooth. That is not fun in the least. Do you guys watch anime on double speed? Oh my god, I can't. Like, that hurts my heart. Like,
why did we do that with Franks? Why did we do that with Franks? What the?
If
I didn't think of that.
Oh,
well, damn it!
It hurts me though because I mean, just I like if people listen to our podcast at double speed, like it would hurt me. And I understand that there are probably people that do our podcasts are fucking long, but I just, you know. But I get, you know, on one level, it's like, however you want to get it. But I'm like, that's not the intended way.
Wise move, Merritt. Wise move. The only way I should watch Franks was through its cliff notes on Wikipedia.
Reading Wikipedia. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Give me the episode summary and leave it there. I can imagine the rest. All right, anyway, Two Banana Fish episode 14, which, if I'm not mistaken, is called The Tender is the Night.
Tender is the Night, the fourth and final novel by, guess who? Your friend and mine, F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Damn.
Back again.
Also sounds like the tagline to my last dating profile, but hey, there we go.
Tender. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. That's my new, like, jazz album. Like, that's the name of it. Tender is the Night.
I'll introduce myself in the bar. So, yes, my name is Shaden, but you can call me Tender is the Night.
Like, yeah, I mean, you just in the shirt that you're wearing right now with your, like, your beard, your baldness, your whole thing. If you just posed against a brick wall with, like, a saxophone and it was kind of a smoky background, like, Tender is the Night. Like, that's an album cover. You have it. You're doing it. Yes.
I have to make that happen now. I really do.
It needs to happen. It needed to happen.
I know someone who has a saxophone, so it actually is possible. Oh, shit. Right, fine. That's it.
Gotta do it.
New life goal.
Alright. So, with the new life goal in mind... we can't venture forth into episode 14 quite yet because we still have to talk about
Twitter poll.
Last week's Twitter. So let's revisit this. The episode 13 Twitter polls. Are gangsters worse reading. It's difficult. In my own native language especially. Are gangsters worse gossipers than basically anyone? 59% said, I don't know, but did you hear the... 39% said yes.
I didn't realize we had a bunch of criminals watching this stream, but I guess...
Right, yes. Only 2% said no.
Fun-loving criminals, to be fair.
Are you glad he's gone? I think you know who we mean when we say he.
Mm-hmm.
48% said yes. No, sorry, yes! Yes! All caps, yes. 35% said, yes! 17% said, yes. There's no option. So 100% of people are glad he's gone. How many plane tickets booked for age you will go unused? Possibly the favorite poll I've ever created. 150 votes. 78% of those people said too many, which is my personal favorite answer. 13% said 2 to 3, 9% said 4 to 5, but too many wins in a landslide. Too many plane tickets for AG will go unused.
I'd have also accepted all of them.
Yes, all the ones. all the plane tickets from LA to Japan. Okay, so are we ready now to proceed into Tender is the Night?
The episode, not the
Jazz the album cover.
Not the doujinshi, not the, you know, erotic novel, just this specific.
Subtle brass band. Oh my god. All right. Ahem. So, the rundown. Here we go. Ash to hospital. Bleeding. Hurting. Will he make it? Only 50% chance. eBay and Max at the airport. Sees news of gang fights. And calls Charlie.
Can I just say something before we go any further? There's an insert bit that I have to comment on here where I think eBay is remarking on, like, you know, the friendship that AG and Asher built up, and how he's like, I should take, you know, AG back.
I shouldn't. And maybe I'm doing it wrong.
So there's like a couple of flashback stills here of times that AG spent, like, you know, coming out of his shell, and the second one was him holding a gun and smiling as eBay is narrating this incredibly tender moment. I was pissing myself with laughter. I was like, I brought him to America and he finally came out of his shell by holding a revolver. Like,
he left behind the stiffness of Japan for the stiffness of the US rifle.
I just couldn't help but think that was
and the stiffness of something else.
Stiff drink, which I've actually finished, so that's disappointing. Right, anyway, where were we?
Okay. eBay's insane.
I'm covering a gang war that might get me killed. Should I A, leave, or B, try to save my career? Against my own better judgment and any sort of common sense. Well, option B, you know, fuck it. Jesus.
Oh, boy. By the way, please let us know if you're having streaming problems. If my audio is low again or if the video is weird. So let us know so we can sort it out either now or after.
I always appreciate that
feedback.
If eBay was like a wartime report, like, you know, when you see, like, you know, people going out to, say, like, the Middle East, like, he is the one person who would wear his, like, you know, body armor, his bulletproof vest as, like, a sock. Or something, or, like, you know, a pair of shorts. He would have it all completely ass backwards.
Yeah.
This bulletproof helmet is something that he wraps underneath his arms and puts around his chest. He's just... He's not playing with a full deck. He really isn't.
Oh, eBay. What did you think of the new OP?
I thought it was rad.
It's good.
I thought it was
great. It's real good.
I think, as you remarked, Doc, like, it seems to come from very much the same kind of early 2000s mentality as the previous one, which was by Survive, Said the Prophet.
Sure.
That was it.
Sure. You can Google it if you want, and I'll talk.
Yeah. But this is a lot more melancholy, and I was really, like, I was quite okay with that, actually.
Yeah.
Nice change of pace.
Yeah, less, you know, thrashy, swirling guitar sort of. Yeah, I did like the last part. What's the last line of it? Like, get away from me in English, something like that. That was just, you know, that's good. That's always real good. I like Banana Fish. It's a good show. Okay. So, wow, what did I write here? Oh, Ash is having nightmares while in surgery. AG is in jail. Wondering what Ash meant when he said, I wish that you didn't see me like this.
Carving someone up into tourniquet.
I mean, it's not... I mean, I guess I understand, like, the sort of... pondering that sort of thing, but I think, I don't know, it seems pretty clear, AG, what he meant. You know, I don't want you to see me with blood on my hands, killing people.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yulung is back! Yudlung is back, everyone. Let's
Mr. Dark Side of the Moon himself. He has returned at long last. And he's been up to some shit while he's been away, as it turns out. I mean,
Yudlung.
Are you sure we should be supporting him given what he's done to his brother, though?
Oh, look, I mean, he's despicable. I love him, though. I love this despicable character in my show. Makes it interesting. He's great on camera. I need this antagonist. Love Yudlung. Back. And, I thought, this occurred to me, seeing Yudlung in the limo. So the way we see him is Sing and Eiji get, sprung from jail because there's been a favor called in or something. And, Eiji gets kidnapped by Yudlung, and Sing gets to ride in the fancy part of the limo. And Yudlung is dressed in a business suit with a cowboy tie. And, he's not wearing makeup or at least lipstick. But the other times we've sort of seen him getting ready to have meetings or whatever, he was putting on a more feminine gown or something like that, doing his hair feminine and putting on lipstick. And it reminded me of this character. Have you seen Mr. Robot? Has anyone seen Mr. Robot? It's really good. It's an excellent television show.
I haven't seen it.
What does that mean? Yudlung is a villain from Disney's Gargoyles.
I think maybe we were possibly mispronouncing his name.
Oh, maybe. What? How do you pronounce it?
I'm just going to call him Mr. Dark Side of the Moon.
It's Yudlung, isn't it? Yudlung? I thought I looked it up and spelled it and pronounced it correctly. Yes, he does. Eiji does get kidnapped in front of the police station. That's incredible. I hadn't thought about the irony therein, but just yes, shoved in the car. Mr. Robot is a good TV show, and there is a character who is and sort of by day is this Chinese ambassador. It's not very clear on if, sort of from his own point of view, what his gender identity and sexuality are, because, he also is, the leader of a criminal organization and stuff. Spoilers for Mr. Robot. But he is that as a lady. And so you often see him getting ready to go to these underground and bad meetings as a lady. And so you see him in a lot of the scenes that you see Yudlung, combing hair, putting on a feminine traditional garb, putting makeup on. But then you also see him in his kind of forward-facing government role as a dude, in a suit, shaking. It just reminded me of that character, which I'm always... pleasant. It's always a good thing to be reminded of Mr. Robot. Yes. So, AG gets kidnapped jokes. Yeah. This is the entire show, right? Like I said, he's been kidnapped, he being AG. And we see Sing and Yudlung stroll through Yudlung's mansion. And then we see the big brother. Boy, the big brother, looking
he looks like me on the average Saturday morning if I've been out drinking the night before. So
I was gonna say Frankensteinian, but yeah, okay, let's go with just Shadon hungover.
Yeah, me being hungover, that's what he looks like,
man. The guy's an asshole. Both of his brothers are absolute fuckers. But, I was totally with Sing seeing that, dehumanization of another person. You just felt this is just monstrous. That's what's been done you know, but yeah, I think, yeah, it does seem like AG got tossed in the trunk of the limo, because, like, where else could he have gone? It's amazing.
They put him on the roof rack, clearly.
Yes. He's in the, where the bike goes. So, let's see. So, I'm unclear on what exactly Yuen-Lung did to his brother, but, you know, clearly he's done something.
Banana fish. He's given him banana fish.
Okay, he doesn't outright say that, but yeah, okay, so it's, I guess it's clear enough. I was thinking that maybe he had had people, like, kind of tweak it or something, but yeah, I mean, that also could just be straight up banana fish.
It's just like, hey, bro, try this. It's a syringe full of fabulous drugs. It can't possibly go wrong. Ah, what's the harm?
Bro, you're my lovely little take brother. A hit.
You've never stirred me wrong. You've clearly got no murderous intent. Let's give this a
Hey, man. Yuen-Lung has hid that murderous intent. He's serving it up ice cold. He's stuffed it down for over a decade.
It's all right. He put strawberry flavoring in it first, so it's fine. You know. Take the edge off it a little bit.
So, yes. The Baileys. Just put it in Baileys. Banana fish and Baileys.
I was going to say, it means we're drooling more than usual.
So, like, this wasn't a particularly heavy episode, but I'm about to, like, bring in a sort of, I guess, heavy topic, like, that, mainly because we talked about this last week, and just to touch on it again and try to be more concise on my part. So, again, you have, like, the death imagery with Ash, like, you know, kind of lovingly reaching out to Death, who's, like, kind of sort of limply, like, but also wantingly kind of extending its hands to Ash, and he's like, ah, the sweet embrace of death. I can just forget the bad and the good and just kind of be in this, like, numb state, in this sweet bliss. Almost like it's like this sort of high, right? Where you just don't have to think about any of your problems or good things that you like that could turn into problems. And again, I just think it's useful, in my opinion, to bring in the perspective of a writer who has, like, who succumbed to suicide, I think, and also, like, dealt with, like, staved it off for a large part of his life, David Foster Wallace. And basically the way he writes about it is like, look, this whole, like, romanticizing of it is just fucking stupid. You know, it's not like the sickly sweet poison, like, let me, like, jump into the arms of this, of the black lover death, like the darkness. You know, it's like, it's fucking scary and terrifying. It's just slightly less terrifying than going on living. And I think that's a perspective worth thinking about and sharing. And I don't know, when I just see imagery like this these days, it just makes me shake my head. The same way, like, I guess, like, Romeo and Juliet does, you know? Mm. Like, being, like, romantic about it. Just,
I'll be fair to Ash and say that he was kind of half comatose, so I can forgive him for not thinking straight. If anything, I was surprised that he was able to have the thoughts he was able to, given that, you know, half his blood is currently somewhere else in Harlem while he's in Queens, clearly. So, I don't know.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
I'm saying, like, you know, I can forgive Ash for thinking the way he does, because he's missing half his blood, and he's also a bit comatose.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's a fair, I mean, he has, point.
But that's not to say that he hasn't, of course, conjured this out of nowhere. He has obviously considered it previously, as we had with, of course, the Kilimanjaro stuff in the previous episode.
Right. And it's like, but it's like you talk about with folding ideas. I mean, this is a work of fiction that the writers intentionally put it together and put it out there and chose this imagery intentionally in this way, you know. For what? Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, it's like the cheesy statement I said, where I think the question is not so much that Ash is certainly not afraid to die, but I think he is, again, to have the cheese, unfortunately, ooze out of your monitors and your earphones, he is afraid to live. I mean, that is incredibly corny, don't get me wrong, but I think there's a grain of truth to it as well with how he is as a person.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
Hopefully not in that corny way.
Yeah. It's hard to know. Like, I mean, I just wonder, yeah, I don't know if the show has the chops to handle this issue, I guess. I don't even know if this is the sort of thing it's going for. Like, it could just, it's probably this, like, you know, tertiary kind of thing. They're like, oh, like, Ash, so tragic, you know what I mean? And whatever. Okay, so now that that's out of the way. So we have Yulung, like, fucking burying AG, just like ripping into him, being like, you, Ash's friend, Ash Lynx, like the mighty and peerless.
Oh, you.
Please. And then he goes on to like state sort of like an idealization. You know, Ash is like this wild animal who is completely free and untamable. And that's why he's so beautiful. Like, the people he needs in his life are people that worship him, or people that loathe him and want to kill him. He doesn't need anyone else. I guess because it would sort of corrupt, like, the pure, this sort of pure, wild, bestial kind of image that he has for him. You know, if he's humanized, if he's, I guess, like, burdened, we use Yudlung's word, with friendship.
He's elements of normality.
Yeah, like, he's spending his time with this guy? That he cares about this person?
This
twerking? Who the fuck is this guy? You know what I mean? Yeah. It definitely seems to bring the devil back down to, or back up, or whatever, to Earth. Angel, devil, whatever they think Ash is. Sorry, chat's making me laugh. The Fate Stay Night references.
It's an appropriate twist on that old quote, given actually what happens to Shiro in that little plot line, funnily enough. So that's actually pretty top tier there, my glory, and I approve of that.
Trickster. Trickster in chat says Yutlung and AJ are going to fight each other over a disagreement about why exactly Ash is so awesome. And it's true. They really are. Like, AG is going to be, like, you know, he's going to be assaulted verbally by Yudlung's kind of view of the world and view of Ash, and he's going to be like, oh, I don't know. Is this true? I have such self-doubt. And then he's going to kind of, you know, go on the inward journey for an episode, think about his time with Ash, come to his own realizations, and then put him out there, and we're going to hear, like, no, Ash is truly, like, not a devil, not an angel. He's a human. He's a boy who I love, and who loves me, and he's vulnerable, and he's scared of pumpkins.
I really thought you were about to say then, like, we're going to be one big happy family at the end. You were leading into that. You were leading into that song there.
I don't know that song. Is it like
Love you, love me, we're one big.
The Barney song. That's a classic. Well, so this happens, and then, so Ash is sad in bed. Is the next line I have, because it's true. And then the nurses come in.
Oh, fucking hell. I don't know how to feel about that scene. I really don't.
Is the tonal whiplash bugging you? Or is it just because...
No, actually.
They want to see, like, his dick?
They want to see... No. Neither of those things. Neither. I'll save it for a talking point, actually.
Does it bother you that we all don't get to see Ash's dick? Do you just, you want to see him, you know, relieve himself in a bottle?
Well, to be fair, though, Doc, like, if we were to see it, it would need to be from space, because it's just that fucking big that we need to have the proper sense of scale for.
Yes. Yep, it's true.
I mean, if it was like, I've seen, you know, you've got Japanese shows where they sense that shit. So it's just going to be a pixelated mass. I think, like, you know, my internet connection was bugging out. It was going to 144p. You know?
Yeah. Right. The
the nurses are, I don't know. I also, like, I, to be honest with you, I haven't really thought very critically about this. Like, it's whatever. You know, it's anime jokes. Like, I'm glad that Ash was like, you know, go away. This is not a show for you, you know, and all that sort of thing, I guess. I didn't, I don't find it, like, bothersome, but it also didn't really make me laugh, so I could, if it was cut, I wouldn't care very much. So then we cut to the politicians and the generals, scheming.
Including the Republican senator who just literally has no neck. It's just head, then shoulders.
The very same.
I'm a bit rotund myself, but I do actually have a distinct neck. This gentleman was just full goiter. He was packing, you know, fucking extra weight on. It's ridiculous.
I bet there's like a sign on the door that says like head of schemes. And you go in there, you know, and it's just dudes sitting in a circle plotting. Because
I'm surprised they went in low light. I really,
yeah, I know. I just totally, yeah. It feels so, like, I don't know, normal. But maybe that's the insidious part of it. It's just a regular room. This just happens in Washington or whatever. But yeah, they're like, look, Ash knows too much. Got to take him out.
Well, that was just because he had an IQ test in which he scored 180. As if that means anything. Sideways tangent here, folks. IQ is a popcorn statistic and is not an actual genuine measure of intelligence in any way, shape, or form. It is about as useful to your understanding of your own intellect as BMI is to your actual health. Because you can, in theory, have a BMI that makes you overweight, but you can also be packing muscle every corner of your body. So, well, the thing is, my Glorian, if the scheme did take place now, it wouldn't happen because there's clearly no fighting in the war. You know, no fighting allowed in, and no commies either. So,
I'm so hoping
that is a Doctor Strangelove reference. Please tell me it is. I'll be very happy if that's a Doctor Strangelove. I fucking love that film.
I didn't take any notes on the IQ test, mostly because, like, I just watched it and thought, like, why are they doing this?
Like, I know exactly why they're doing this.
But to make Ash look smart, to make him look awesome, and talk about Fibonacci sequence.
I'm saving my thoughts on the IQ test.
Okay.
And no, it's not just because I think IQ testing is bullshit. There's a broader idea behind it.
It's because Ash is a very stable genius. And that's why. Okay, so yes, I guess, yeah, they're like, this boy, I remember this boy, he has an IQ of 180. He is used to be Gulzine's pet. He almost charged me $20,000 a night for him, and now we have to take him out because he knows too much about the schemes that we've been scheming. So we will send an assassin. Whoosh. Cut back to the hospital. Ash, seemingly asleep. Nurse that looks remarkably like the nurse we've seen. Gives a sexy wave at the guard. Lets her by without any issue. Goes in and is about to stick something in Ash's IV. Who are you? You're not, what's her name? I can't remember her name. I'm sorry. And you're clearly here to kill me. What's in the vial? And they fight. Ash is able to, like, get her in, like, a hammer lock and almost like a chokehold, but she kills herself with the drugs.
I thought it was a cyanide pill myself, but it doesn't matter. It's minor. The only question I was asking is if they wanted Ash that dead that badly, why didn't they just literally pay some random homeless bum to, you know, blow the place up with an RPG? That's not really a criticism, though. It's just me being ultra nitpicky.
Yeah.
But, like, you know,
they don't want to cause a national incident, I guess. They just wanted to give them the lethal injection. So he survives this, and, you know, Max is there. He's in the episode a few times, and Max is saying, this is going to keep happening if you remain here. So we've got to get you out of here. We're going to figure this out. And Ash slumps over, still wounded. His wounds have busted open again, been torn open. Much like Dojima in Persona 4 in his scene. And he has to be, you know, re-stabilized. And so, cut back to the head of Scheme's office. It didn't work. Our assassination had failed. What do we do now?
I like to imagine there's a load of, like, cut content where they just kept trying to kill Ash over and over in increasingly ridiculous ways and failed every time. Like, okay, so the clown visiting the hospital didn't do it with the little squirty thing with the acid. That was a no-go. Nah, that didn't happen. We had, you know, the bunch of crazy Australians go in. That didn't work. The ninjas, they didn't work. It just ain't happening, folks. We just can't kill this motherfucker.
They can't. Clearly, they've tried everything. And so they give him to the Mannheim steamroller. Mannerheim, who sends a couple of people in there that are like, hey, we're the FBI, and we're here to take you away because you need to go to a mental institution because of your test. Like, well, this doesn't sound fishy at all. The FBI wants to take me to get mental health. Like, what? I mean, Ash knows. I mean, but can't really, you know, he's not really in a position legally or physically even to refuse.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mention earlier how he figured out that the nurse was an assassin. It turned out to be because, you know, she was not wearing any fragrance of any kind. She didn't smell like any antiseptic. And thus he knew she was a killer. And when he tells this to Max, Max is just like, God damn it, you're clever. You're so smart. Which made me laugh. And again, we get more Ash is super smart when he's blindfolded. You know, he has the sleep mask on, essentially. And he's kind of telling himself, based on the movement of the truck, the shifting of the weight, the smell of the air, you know, all right, we're going north. Salty air. Clearly we're by the ocean. No, we're bumping. We're crossing a bridge. We're crossing that bridge. And, you know, like...
The guy on the left, he's got a really cheap cologne.
Exactly.
The guy on the right... It's really good.
He did that. He's like, you're FBI. Like, you have this brand name tie and this brand name shoes. Like, you're not FBI. So yeah, he's, as stated by Trickster, he's become Sherlock Holmes, which is, you know, very funny. Max ends up getting signed to, he and the partner, to do the big kind of criminal conspiracy expose for, I don't even know what the name of the outlet is, the magazine or newspaper or whatever, but yeah, he's an editor has picked up this story of the Golzine, the radical Golzine and government conspiracy, Banana Fish. It's gonna get out there. It's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And then the, like, cliffhanger of all cliffhangers. A plot twist so insane that no one believes it. No one in the audience takes it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Ash is reported dead on the news. You know, says that the FBI transported him to a facility, a mental facility, and he died. And those words echo in AG's head as we cut to the new ED. And that's episode 14.
Mm-hmm.
Tender is the anime boy who holds you softly.
If only that actually really genuinely happened.
All right.
Okay. Woo. All right, talking boys. Do you want to go first, Sock?
I've been talking for a bit, so let me hit the sounder and then I'll let you go.
Talking points.
All right, hit me with your talking points.
All right. I have two specifically, so I'll start with the first, which is actually a positive one. Unfortunately, the other one is negative because, you know, I can't like everything for eventually everything sours. Like Bailey's left out too long. But anyway, so let's talk about Mr. Darkseid, the Moon himself, look younger for a second. So here's the thing, right? I actually really, really enjoyed his scene with Su Ling and also laced with Eiji when you combine them together in context. Not just because it was good to have him back, because it was, but because also because of the grace and meaning that we got from this for his character. So here's the thing, right? Ash, up until he met Eiji, I would say probably never actually genuinely had... Well, he had friends, I'd say, like Shawsa, for example. But they were always associated with him criminally. They were always involved in his operations. They were never truly divested from him. I mean, you might, for example, always read stories, say, for example, of soldiers, you know, who have wives or husbands, completely just separate from their careers, who they come home to and live a normal life with. But Eiji was like the first genuinely normal, uninvolved individual that he ever met and who he became quite close to. And he didn't have to, you know, control Eiji through fear, through power, through structure, none of that. He just was genuinely good close to him. And then we have Luk Young, who, I again apologize, mispronounced the name there. He, conversely, has always either A, been living in, you know, the thrall of his brothers. He's never ruled himself. He's never, like, led anyone. And the only way that he, in the end, could actually convince his older brother to stop using him as a tool was to stab him full of banana fish. And so, here's the thing, right? We get, of course, Luk Young's, like, you know, protestation to Eiji, like, I hate you, I want to tear you limb from limb. And I genuinely think that's jealousy of both Eiji and Ash showing up there. In that, I think that he genuinely wants to be able to befriend someone whom he can have, like, as a ward or someone he cares about that isn't necessarily related to the criminal stuff. And fully enough, there is such a character. And who is that character that Luk Young has, like, you know, been, you know, wooing a little bit? That would be Su Ling. I reckon, and this might be wrong, but I reckon that Luk Young is trying to basically mold Su Ling into his own version of Eiji, having seen that relationship play out between the two, between Ash and Eiji. He wants to try and replicate what he's seen elsewhere because he's envious of it. I mean, for as much as he complains about people idolizing Ash, he himself is one of those people, even though he'd never openly admit it. So I found this again to be a very fascinating extra puzzle piece to his character. It's making him all the more, like, you know, into an interesting villain. And also someone who's got astute observations. I mean, yeah, I would argue that he is correct that, you know, in some way Eiji is a burden. But, well, who can say... I'd argue that, you know, loving someone is always going to be a burden, to be honest, in some way.
Yep.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you know, he completely doesn't understand how to coerce or to persuade or even to cooperate with people to get what he wants. Why else does he force his brother to do his bidding with banana fish? You know? He didn't end up, you know, saying to him, look, right, you've used me as a tool all these years. You've used me to, you know, wile people, to coerce them, to seduce them. But I'm better than that. Can't you see me for who I really am? And can you not treat me as an equal or as a senior? In the end, he had to force him. He had to force the issue by drugging him up to the nines. As opposed to, you know, the way Ash would have done it, which was, well, as we saw with Kane, you know, where he just talked with them. This is the thing, right? Banana fish is the power to compel and control people just by drugging them. Simple as that. But what Ash
has
done
for Owen... He wants to make him suffer at, like, tremendously much. To do something awful, because he's not even concerned with, like, making them see his point of view, I don't think. Or maybe he'll, like, make some kind of declaration about it at the end, but I don't know.
For sure. But consider that all of the alliances that Ash has won have been just for him talking and persuading for his natural charisma.
Yeah.
Whereas the position that Luk Jung has actually...
His preternatural charisma, I'd argue.
Well, yeah, there is that. But the position he's got into at this point, where he's now basically running things, is something that he has cheated his way to, I would argue. Now, you know, you can argue Enz justifies the means and all that, and his brother was a dick, and I personally think, you know what, that is a fate that his brother shouldn't have suffered. But, yeah, I think that what Luk Jung is essentially trying to do is he's trying to become more like Ash, to also have the relationships Ash has and the respects he has and the skills and the talents. And certainly there's a lot of skill and talent with Luk Jung, don't get me wrong. But he's trying to emulate the Eiji thing with Su Ling, and that's not really... That's a bad facsimile at best. He's trying to get people to, you know, see his way into, you know, to rule them as his brother. But he had to, you know, shortcut it. He's a pale imitation, although he wouldn't miss him, but he's a pale imitation in a different way than Arthur was. Arthur was all brute force, whereas Luk Jung is more like, you know, subtlety and skullduggery. So I'm really appreciating all the extra puzzle pieces they're putting his place here and the things that he does to make him, you know, seem sympathetic, because obviously, you know, he's living in the shadow of Ash here. But, yeah, certainly still to have more of him is always welcome, and I keep appreciating the little extra layers they add to him, such as they did here.
Cool. I actually haven't written down any points, so I'm just going to riff. And yeah. Yeah.
Banana, fish.
Sorry. Oh, this is a story all about how I... Anime turned me upside down.
Holy shit, that's genius. Are you saying that AG is Carlton? Yes, he fucking is Carlton.
Him or eBay.
Oh my fucking god. Well, we peaked. That's it. We peaked.
We might have peaked. We might have just peaked. I'm sorry. We might have peaked too soon. It's only episode 14.
I'm so sorry, folks. That's his fault.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty great, though. That was a genuine moment of brilliance, I must say.
So, I thought Miss KR brought up an interesting point in the chat that Yudlung, you know, is, of course, singularly driven to enact his revenge. Well, maybe not singularly driven. It's his chief motivation. He's got, as you pointed out, Shadon, other irons in the fire with Ash. But I think largely he's living to revenge, to deploy his vengeance on his family for killing his mom brutally in front of him when he was a boy. And in doing this, you know, and entrapping his brothers and making them suffer, he's becoming more and more like them. The things that he hates, and perhaps it's a thing that he himself doesn't realize, or even if he does, he doesn't care or can't stop it. You know, the inertia is pushing him forward. And it's a point you brought up very early on in our Banana Fish viewing. I think perhaps back when we were, perhaps back when the show had less silliness at times in it, and we were speaking very, very seriously about it all, that, you know, a thing that we were seeing is the kind of the cycle of pain and the cycle of crime and violence and dehumanization, that it just, you know, begets more violence and dehumanization.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
I think, you know, this theme is being reinforced with Yudlung and what he's doing. Because, you know, early on when he was first kind of debuting in the show, he had these little moments you know, when we saw his backstory, when he kind of stole a sidelong glance at Asian Ash, that you could be like, you know, there's something in the way of a human there. But, you know, as he's taking more and more of a role in daylight activities, and in his syndicate, he's becoming less and less of that and more of a, you know, very twisted evil monster.
Yeah.
And
you know,
it's interesting to me. He's just a really, really interesting character.
You know, you've just made me think of something, actually. I'm going to throw it out there, right?
Trickster.
Did you just...
Gosh darn it. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so here's the thing, right? You often get themes in works like Man See Man, Man See Man, you know, Power Corrupts Absolutely, all that sort of, like, you know, 101 jazz. But hear me out here. Going back to the idea of banana fish, the drug. Drug allows you to reprogram someone, and as has been shown before, it's turned people into animals who kill others, who destroy other people. But the thing is, are we not seeing that as a central character conflict for Ash, something that's happening to Luk Young, and, you know, the fact that you don't need the drug necessarily to, you know, twist yourself, to become a monster, to become an unthinking, unfeeling animal? You know, animal is a term that's thrown around a lot in here. I mean, mm-hmm. You think that it's just Ash that gets it. Su Ling has always worn the jacket with the monkey on it, which I'm spitballing here wildly, so I could be wrong, but maybe that's a reference to Sun Wukong, the Monkey King? That is a complete spitball to the left, so pleasing. My point's the right, but anyway, you have a point.
Could be. I mean, it's an important animal in Chinese mythology, I think.
Yeah, but that's the thing I'm getting at here. I think that Banana Fish the show is through Banana Fish the drug trying to make a point that, you know, you don't need a magical, you know, whatever that mystery X drug was mentioned, in order for people to be twisted into unthinking, uncaring, psychopathic monsters, you know, the worst kind of inhuman qualities. People can, through environment, you know, from what they learn from people, the way they're treated when they grow up, they can become that just the same, I would argue. So maybe that's, I think, is an interesting point they're trying to make there, that maybe, you know, all this drugs, yeah, it does what it does, that's fine, but you know what? You don't need it to twist people, and as it's seen with Ash, he's trying to fight for his humanity, whereas Luk seems to me like, you know what, he's willing to let more and more of it go.
Yep. You know, they should make a zombie show with these themes. I'm the real monster.
I'm sure that must have happened somewhere already.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, that's the theme of every zombie show. That is what I have for my first point. What is your next negative point?
Well, it's something that the chat has been alluding to. It's something that I alluded to in the previous episode, where I kind of had that epiphany about Ash's construction as a character in the narrative. And it continues here, so I'm not going to belabor it too long, but unfortunately the show or the material is going out of its way to make Ash out to be this, basically this ubermensch, you know.
The ideal anime man. Boy.
Yeah. To its detriment, I would argue. I mean, I argued previously that reason that Arthur was crap as a rival was because in order to make Ash look good, they had to make him actively look worse, which is not good writing, I'm sorry to say. And now that he's gone, they've reversed course here. Now they're just making Ash be fucking prescient. This is the reason why I said before I wasn't down with the idea of the nursing. It's not because it's comedy. Like, comedy is welcome at times. Like, it's like, you know, it is downtime. Ash has just finally killed Arthur, that fucking miserable shithead off. He's dead. You know, but it was a harrowing experience. Age is in jail. Everything's messed up. Let's have a moment of goofy levity in which the nurse is all, you know, like, you know, ooh la la. Oh, well, I'll be. So there's that. But I don't mind that as a concept. What I'm not necessarily okay with is the fact they keep belaboring the point about Ash being, you know, A, incredibly attractive, B, incredibly smart, skilled. He's not actually got a flaw that I can think of thus far. I mean, the one thing that you could argue that he's
pumpkin
done throughout
fear.
The show...
Well, he okay. doesn't like Halloween. That's a huge flaw.
That is pretty crippling, I won't lie. That is pretty bad. But insofar as like deep, meaningful character flaws go, there isn't really one I can think of. I mean, his crimes, if you want to call them that, are murdering tons and tons of people who were going to kill him, so you could make the self-defense argument. Killing Chaucer, which was the lowest he went, but I would also argue, using the unfortunately horrible moral calculus of that moment, to be the right choice to do. Right being a relative thing.
The chat. Sorry. They're just tickling me. Ash is the best at Sword Art Online.
Well, it's like I alluded to in my famous tweet, which was, you know, he's playing Grand Blue Fantasy when Asian was picking him up.
Right.
He was rolling that gacha. I mean, he had money for it. He got the goose fund. He can roll all the gacha he wants all day. Yeah. Spend those crystals. He's going to get him a saber altar. Of course he is.
Five star,
yeah. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to just say that in the long run, I think it's a bit late now for Banana Fish to start dialing back on Ash's character insofar as making him less godlike, is the word I would use for it. Don't get me wrong, I still think the show is pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is his principal flaw, and I think that people in the chat have been alluding to it as well.
They have.
That it takes too much pain to make him look at to be amazing at everything he does. But it's to the detriment of the other characters by making them look stupid. Or B, it's just ridiculous, like, you know, over the top and stuff. Like, I could have completely settled with him being silent in the van while the FBI guys talked to him. I didn't need to have more info drilled into me at that point that he was able to calculate where they were going.
It really is it's like the BBC Sherlock Holmes sequence. You know, I'm surprised they didn't do like the 360 zoom around his head and show like math equations and shit in the air. They sort of did that when he was talking to the IQ man, and they did the funny like sped up talk.
That could have been those lines from Ash. In fact, the entire conversation could have been completely cut. Nothing would have been lost by that. Like. What does that scene tell me? That Ash is incredibly smart and attentive? I already knew that. We're 14 episodes in. This is thoroughly established at this point. I don't need to know it anymore. It's just circle jerking, in a sense, I suppose. Yeah. And it's going too far.
I mean, you can fall in love with your own characters, I guess. That's always a temptation as a creator. But yeah, I mean, we've seen him, you know, be a super hacker, and we've seen him affect the global markets by being a hacker. So, but I guess this is a different kind of smart. Like, you know, they've shown him as hacker guy, but they haven't, at least refresh my memory, have they shown him before that he's like, he's got these kind of incredible, like, almost instincts? You know what I mean? Like the whole fragrance thing and the direction thing, like that his mind is just operating on the Sherlockian level. We haven't really seen anything to that extent before. But as you say, we don't really need to, I don't think.
I mean, there are times where I think it's appropriate to rewind to a previous episode. You might recall the dinner scene between him, Golzine, Arthur, Max, and eBay, in which Golzine gives him wine and says, "Tell me about the wine." Now that tells us about, you know, what Golzine has... Yeah, it textures their relationship a bit. It's not just about making him smart because he knows the wine. It's something that he has been deliberately taught. We realize that not only has Golzine been, you know, abusing him, but he's been grooming him. He's been dressing him up, not just in terms of what he wears, but also what he knows. You know, when you present someone out there, it's not just a question of what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know catwalk model, for example, but that's not very much there. But it's also a question of what they say as well, and how. No.
Right.
So, you know, when Golzine brings his little pet in to meetings, as was alluded to the senators and such, like Well, would you be willing to explain to these people, Ash, what you think of this most amazing wine? So yeah, there are times like that when it's appropriate because it textures the characters and their relationships.
Yeah, it does,
and there's times like in the FBI car where it's like, whatever.
I know. Yeah, that line is actually a really good example because I feel like it does a lot of heavy lifting. It serves like all these different purposes in addition to what you know, what you want to say by making him super detective. And yeah, I mean, I guess it's weird. Like, a lot of times I'm pretty forgiving about this sort of thing, but I think it's just because, well, the quality of the show is quite high, and so the sort of the dips stand out. And Ash sort of hasn't always been presented in this light. You know what I mean? Like, it took a lot of episodes, right? Like, first it was just sort of like, well, he's the streetwise, you know, gangster. And then sort of like, well, he's like a world-wise sort of bred for finer things, person. And then it just keeps on kind of, you know, building. We get the hacking stuff and then we get this. So yeah, it's a lot. Have you ever seen H Bomber Guy's 3-hour YouTube video, Sherlock is Garbage and Here's Why?
Yeah.
I watched it all too. Yeah. Even though I've not watched Sherlock.
The thing is, it's the same principle though as H-Bomb alluded to in there, in that it's not plausible how intelligent he is. It goes too far to make him look like someone beyond us mere mortals, which is not good writing. I don't, like, for a start, it's way too late in the game to start throwing this stuff. I mean, what do we ultimately gain from Ash deducing the routes in which the truck is taken? Now, I'll be fair, maybe that might come up in the next episode in which he says, I know where I am. I don't know. It could be ways, but as it stands right now, it's just literally him doing it because it makes him look smart to the audience, which is, we already know. So what's the point?
Is there anything that you think, I mean, we've talked about the Yuen-Lung stuff, but other things that you think that this episode did particularly right? So for me, I guess the scene with the assassin, I have layered thinking about it. On the one hand, you could cut it out of the show entirely, I feel, and wouldn't lose anything. Because at the end of the episode, I do largely feel that, like, apart from a couple of, like, I mean, there's that one giant thing that happens at the end, but other than that, I don't think we've moved that much forward from the previous episode. But, like, so I feel that, but on the other hand, I also feel like if you're gonna have it in here, like, on a certain level, I thought it was very amusing. Like, that it almost functioned like an episode of a children's cartoon, you know, the bad guys scheming in a room kind of bookends the action scene. You know, you have the beginning of like, how do we take him out? Let's send in this, like, you know, villain of the week. Villain goes in, tries to do their job, foiled again. And then
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
Exactly. Very much that. And so in that way, like, it was entertaining. I think this is one of those situations where it's entertaining to me because I'm watching it weekly. Like, that was like a fun bit. But I think if you're kind of going through the show marathon style, that's a very inessential part of it in some ways. Unless it matters more in the end. Ash is more like a Sherlock Holmes villain, like Moriarty.
is he gonna fight Dino on the Reichenbach Falls? Oh, fuck. Man.
Well, but okay, does that mean go
does
ahead.
That mean does that mean that Luk Young was the principal villain behind this version of Hound of the Baskervilles?
We'll just say yes. It's been too long since I've read that book to like even grasping references. So you were going to say things that the episode did well that you thought.
I'll be honest. I'm not going to say it did anything bad, but there was nothing else that particularly stuck out to me. Yeah. It felt kind of like a repeat of the previous episode where there was a significant flaw, but a significantly good bit.
Yeah. But man, the good bit was not nearly as good as the good bit. I mean, I like the Yuen-Lung, but like, holy shit, man. The leopard flashback from last week was so much better than anything in this episode, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'll be fair as well in that this episode also didn't have the complete massacre of dozens of people in the way that made, you know, Uncharted look realistic. So I had that going for it. This was more of a downtime kind of thing where mm-hmm. it felt very functional. Like,
yeah.
things need to happen to advance certain things. So we're putting... It's not playing chess much as it is organizing pieces on the chessboard for someone else to pick up later.
The only problem is, I mean, what I'm not really... Apart from Yuen-Lung, I guess, being reintroduced into the story, I don't know, I feel like more could have probably been advanced. But maybe I'm just... Maybe I'm just in a hurry for things to happen. Which is, like, annoyingly hypocritical of me if you're going to watch all these videos sequentially. Because, like, previously I'm like, oh, things are happening so fast. Can we have a moment to breathe? And when we get 2 weeks or nothing happens, I'm like, God damn it. Can you speed it along? Oh, this is the perils of watching weekly. You know, your mindset and you as a viewer will change, you know, and yeah. So, I was a little, like, apart from the OP and ED, I was a little disappointed in the music. Because, like, none of it stood out. Like, I don't remember any piece of music from this episode. Usually there's, like, one scene where I'm like, oh, they killed it there. Like, that piano ballad or that the synth was so good. But, like, yeah, it just wasn't present, really. It didn't make itself a part of the episode.
Sadly not. But still, I thought I actually disagree with you. I think that the Lok Young stuff was better than the stuff we had previous episode because it was focused on a character stuff at this point that hasn't as much development as Ash has. So I was glad to have him return and then to get the extra layers to it.
That's fair. No, that's a good point. I guess, boy, I just really liked that flashback scene personally.
It was good. It was pretty good.
It was very. I don't know. It just resonated with me at the time. But I feel what you're saying. Like that's a good point. And I mean, I said earlier in the episode, like, thank God he's back because, Dino's gone away. Arthur's gone for good. We hope so. Some kind of antagonist needs to be there, and he's my preferred one of the three anyway. So glad he's back. What is your next talking point?
I'm done.
You're done? Okay. Yeah, I don't have too much more to say either. I mean, I said a few little things I wanted to say throughout the summary. I guess that's like, it's funny, like this episode is going to be like, slightly more than half the length of some of the ones we've done recently, just because there's not like a ton to talk about. I can't wait for the last episode. That stream will be 5 hours long, says Mir. That's gonna be great.
If that happens, I'm gonna do what I did like we did for the final Franks episode where I just got drunk throughout all of
it. Yes.
I was literally there just like as we were talking about the bullshit. I was just like, right, vodka. Vodka. So that's gonna happen. Yeah, we'll have a nice drink along while we, talk shop again. And I prove my rampant alcoholism, is still pretty strong.
It's gonna be like if Arthur comes back, we talked about he's fucking.
To be fair, he's already had his fingers stitched back on, and they work.
They do. So like. This is going to be Shadon. This you won't get this because this is Dragon Ball related. But we said he was the trashy Super Saiyan. This will be like the Bio Broly film version.
Bio Broly. Of
Banana Fish. So. Yeah. Well, when they kill Broly, in film 10, in the 11th Dragon Ball Z film, some of the people that were side characters in the previous movie, like, extract some of Broly's DNA, Jurassic Park style, and his blood. They get his blood off a rock, and they
Broly DNA.
John Hammond and Mr. DNA. Boom, Broly DNA. He comes back and he's like a slime monster, basically, because he's kind of an imperfect form, an imperfect Broly. And the little kids get to beat him up. Yeah, pretty much.
Boss, I made a mistake. Fuck it, whatever.
I'm trying to think of a way to, like... No, you know what? Nope. Just gonna shove that joke on through the line and to the... You know, no. Let's not...
It's over there.
Yeah, let's not talk about Jell-O pudding. So apparently there's anyway. This Kimbley fellow. Kimbley I know from Full Metal Alchemist. I didn't like that person. Kimbley wasn't the bad cop from like episode 3 that made Ash watch that awful shit, was he?
Haas? I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. So in the next few minutes, if anybody has any questions for us about stuff, we're happy to answer them, banana fish related or otherwise. There's a couple mm-hmm. polls up. I'll read the polls.
Twitter poll.
We've also got to rate the episode, of course.
Oh my gosh, that's right. All right, so let's do this. The two polls that we have up for 14, episode 14, Tender as a Night, featuring Shadon, is, did 180 IQ Ash Sherlock Lynx bother you in episode 14? Currently, 73% say no. Not bothered by the clever man. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Our next poll, is Bailey's the best? Yes, maybe, no. Yes and maybe are currently tied. 50-50.
Yeah, that's fair.
Those are the polls. So, cool. Let's rate the episode.
Right. So, for me, my complaints and my likes about this episode were broadly the same as the previous one, funnily enough, for much the same reasons. But because this time it wasn't necessarily the good stuff wasn't focused on Ash, but was instead focused on Young, so we got, you know, more dimensionality to a character who was in need of it, as opposed to, well, is this very well understood character that we're just going to keep polishing a little bit more unnecessarily. In the end, I will rate this episode 3 out of 5 murderous sexy nurses.
that's a good one. Yeah, I mean, I'm struggling with what number to put on this because it is in terms of just a rating system, not for banana fish, but sorry, chat again tickling. Not for a rating system, like, what am I trying to fucking say? God damn it, I'm tired. When it comes to just anime in general, like, and this anime episode versus all anime episodes, it's very good. You know, mm-hmm. there's, like, a trope issue, that sort of thing, but the writing is quite good overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's certainly above average. I think I'm going to go a little bit higher than you, but this will probably be my lowest rating so far. I think I'm going to give it 3.12 false death reports out of 5.
Fair enough. that's the most esoteric place you've got this far.
No. The scale has suddenly become incredibly granular.
Christ. Well, the only way it could have been worse is if you decide you hate the episode and decide to rate it after the Fibonacci sequence that gets closest.
Yes.
I rate this episode a 1-1-2. Do you get the idea?
Listen to the BT song Fibonacci sequence. That's some good electronic music. IMO. That's always what I think of when I think of that. I don't think of math because I never learned about it because I never took, advanced mathematic courses in college. I was more of a humanities person.
Fair enough. So, by the way, next episode has one of the more revealing titles, which is In the Garden of Eden. Honey.
No, it doesn't. No.
It is. It's called called The Garden of Eden.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, man. And you brought up In the Garden of Eden.
Yep.
What a great song. Surely that's got to be like a JoJo's ending or something, right?
Surprisingly enough. No, it isn't.
It's got to be one day. I mean, at some point, it's going to happen.
Stone Ocean, perhaps, who can say? But yeah, that's next one. And well, here's the thing, right? So, okay, Garden of Eden. We all, of course, know the biblical references behind that. Adam, Eve, snake, etc., etc.
They grew tulips together and vegetables.
You could split hairs over who is, Adam and Eve in this, but who is the snake, you might wonder? Well, it's obviously our, lovable dark side of the moon, Luk Jung. So, tempting with a bit of knowledge, could happen to Eiji, perhaps?
Yeah.
I wonder.
Interesting. Mm. That's interesting, perhaps.
Stroke the beard.
Well, so what you're telling me then is that the fucking war-torn Los Angeles is the Garden of Eden in this story. For Eiji. Who I guess is Eve.
Disproving the
old evangelical axiom about Adam and Steve. We have Adam and Steve right here, thank you.
Well, to be fair, one of the previous episodes was called This Side of Paradise.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But it's just wrong. No, I understand an existential sense for AG, finding there's someone that you can bond with on that deep level, like it is, Paradiso in some sense, regardless of the kind of physical circumstances happening around you.
If I had to guess as well, I'm going to imagine Ash is going to murder a fuck ton of people in that mental asylum.
Above, Saria asked what we thought of the new ED. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I unfortunately missed it because Amazon decided to cock up and I didn't get right around to actually watching it. But I'm going to
to the next episode. Oh, wait. It's I wanted to see this ending. But no, watch the next episode right now.
Yeah. Thanks, Amazon.
Did you see the story about Amazon's sort of AI tool that they were using for hiring and how it they have recently stopped using it? They've been using it for 4 years. It was being developed and used, but it was found to be extremely gender biased, so they stopped using it.
Yeah, I heard of that.
Just because of the bias inherent in the tech field, I think it was to do with the things they were searching in the applications.
What was the AI called? Dick Hunter.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Watery Desho. Banana Fish, episode 14. Stream of thought.
Subparagraph 5.
Thank you. Thank you. Then East of Eden reference in the chat now happening.
Wow.
I think that it is definitely a sign that we should end this. So, Shadon, my my own partner in crime and in life. What will people do if they want to find you on the internet? Where should they go?
Well, they shouldn't go there, but just like 50 Cent, they can find me in the club.
No.
No, if that's... Well, like, you can, in theory. I will probably be at a club at some point soon. But to answer the question legitimately, you can find me at Shaden1010 on Twitter and similarly on CuriousCat.me if you want to send me questions of a pointed nature. So, yeah, hit me up.
And if you'd like to, you know, ask me about Banana Fish and tell me what anime I need to be watching, bother me about the puppets in Thunderbolt Fantasy, you know, ask about how you can get into Japanese wrestling, then at me at the Subtle Doctor on Twitter. I almost forgot my Twitter handle, because that's how tired I am. Sorry for the apologies for, I think, myself and Shadon. We're feeling pretty weary, but we did both want to do a stream and didn't want to let another week go by where we wouldn't do it. So
yeah. Real life has been kicking both our asses regressively. Yeah. So,
but hopefully it was fun. I mean, it said chat is saying that they had a good time. So
there, I got to say the phrase. I got to say the phrase Dick Hunter and also sing the band. Like,
Dick Hunter. Yeah, hopefully you folks viewing on the VOD will find this at least, I guess, for a bad anime media, you know, whatever it is. I want to say bad anime podcast because that's what we've been. But I guess now we're just a bad anime bad anime media, bad anime videos, whatever you're watching on. I hope you find this slightly acceptable.
We are a bad anime.
We are bad. You're just a bad anime.
We're too photorealistic. That's the problem.
I agree. The artists need to go back to the drawing board. What are they doing? Reconceptualize my character design, please.
Anyway, thank you all so much for taking the time to come join us. We'll be back probably early next week, I'd say, to 2:15, wouldn't it?
I think so.
Tuesday.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, things will be quieter this week, thankfully. I'm not going to have any six-hour-long business trips taking me to, you know, the arse end of fucking England, wherever I ended up. I will return. Doc will return. The Baileys will return.
The Baileys!
Yeah.
I wish I had Baileys. Not allowed at my place of work, unfortunately. This is not the... You know, this is not the Sterling Cooper office, unfortunately, from Batman. Yeah,
well, you mean to say you're not a wine taster?
I'm not, unfortunately. AG's got, not AG, I always do this. Ash has got one over on me there. He would definitely best me in the wine tastery.
This is true.
But if we're talking about soda, though, now that, my friend, that is a different. I think I could kick Ash's ass in a soda tasting sort of thing modeled after wine tasting. I don't really know what that would look like, but someone constructed, and we'll see how it goes. Anyway, everyone out there, thank you for watching or listening. If you're watching on YouTube and you want to have us in audio form, you don't like my face, just go to our SoundCloud or Apple Pods, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can download this as a podcast. Other things will show up in that feed as well that aren't in the YouTube section. You know, I'm very slow about doing this, but I'm putting up pieces of like our Angel's Egg and Berserk discussions. Those are part of more full-length podcasts that you can get in toto by subscribing to those feeds. If you are listening in the pod and you want to participate maybe live in the listening, the chatting, what have you, of when we do these Banana Fish talks, come on over to YouTube at Watery Desho Anime Discussion, and just search that on YouTube and you'll find us. You can subscribe and... smash the buttons and the bells. Shit. But yeah, follow us on Twitter. We got a Gmail. Hit us up if you want to talk. And with that, I will just say, once again, we love all of you out there. And as we say every week on this fair show, embrace each other, everyone, to the ends of the universe.